Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4.
Bhagavad Gita tal como es, capítulo 4.
Transcendental knowledge.
Conocimiento transcendental.
Text number 8.
Texto 8.
Pritanaya sadhunam.
Pritanaya sadhunam.
Vinashaya chaduskritam.
Vinashaya chaduskritam.
Dharma samstapanarthaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Translation: to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium.
Para redimir a los piadosos y aniquilar a los infieles, así como para restablecer los principios de la religión, yo mismo aparezco milenio tras milenio.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Kaviraj Goswami, the following verses summarize these principles of incarnation.
En el Chaitanya Charitamrita de Krishnadas Kaviraj, los versos siguientes resumen estos principios de la encarnación.
The avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation in the particular form of the personality of Godhead, who so descends is called an incarnation or avatar.
El avatar, la encarnación de Dios, desciende del reino de Dios con el fin de llevar a cabo la manifestación material. Y esa forma en particular de la personalidad de Dios, que así desciende, se denomina encarnación o avatar.
Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar.
Estas encarnaciones están en el mundo espiritual, el reino de Dios. Cuando ellas descienden a la creación material, adoptan el nombre de avatar.
So here in this very famous and often quoted verse of Bhagavad Gita, we hear about the mysterious appearance of the Lord in the material world.
En este verso muy famoso y amigablemente citado, oímos acerca de las encarnaciones del Señor que aparecen en este mundo material.
We say mysterious only because most people are not actually aware that the Lord Himself appears in the material creation.
Decimos que estos descensos son misteriosos porque mucha gente no está consciente de que el Señor viene a este mundo material.
At least in the Western world.
Por lo menos en el mundo occidental.
We have information of the Son of God coming, or His representative, or the prophet.
Tenemos información de que viene su hijo, representante, profeta.
But that God Himself would come is quite a mystery to most people in Western culture.
Pero que Dios mismo venga es muy misterioso para la gente de la cultura occidental.
But if the need is there, He'll come.
Pero si surge la necesidad, Él viene.
One time Prabhupada was giving a darshan and one reporter challenged this. He said, "You say that God would come to this world?"
Una vez Prabhupada estaba dando una charla y un reportero lo retó y dijo, "¿Usted dice que Dios vendría a este mundo?"
And Prabhupada shot back, "Who can stop Him?"
Y Prabhupada refutó diciendo, "¿Quién lo puede detener?"
And He does want to come.
Y Él quiere venir.
It says in, later on in Gita, that He is the seed-giving Father of all living entities. So irregardless of our race or our creed or religion, we're all children of God. And we've all lost our way. So either His representative, His Son, or if need be, He will also come. Just like if there's some disturbance at the back of the temple room, some guests are not acting properly, then I'll just give an indication to one of the devotees in the back to try to solve the problem. But if that doesn't work, I'll ask Gaurahari, my servant, you go back and take care of it. But if he can't do it, then I'll ask Punachandra Goswami, and he'll definitely take care of it. We go up the chain of command like that. So When the situation in the material world deteriorates, in the sense it deteriorates spiritually, Lord will send His Son, His representative. And if the situation, if Dharma has very much deteriorated, then Lord will feel the necessity to come Himself.
Sí, cuando la situación se deteriora en el mundo material, en términos espirituales, Dios manda a su hijo, su representante. Pero si surge, si la cosa se pone muy mala, entonces él personalmente viene.
Of course, it's amazing that he does come.
Con todo eso, es muy asombroso que él viene.
Because this is the material world, a world of darkness, a world of ignorance.
Porque este es el mundo material, el mundo de oscuridad, ignorancia.
It's the playground of the conditioned souls to act out their fantasy that they're God. And everyone's welcome to the party except God Himself. And who would expect to find the Lord in this material creation anyway? He's Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's always enjoying his transcendental loving pastimes with his devotees in the spiritual world. That world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Why would the supreme enjoyer come to a world which is temporary, full of ignorance and suffering? It's surprising that God would come here. Just like you may meet a very important person, very prestigious person in the wrong part of town, and you say, what's a person like you doing in a place like this? Krishna, one name of Krishna is Purushottam. It means he's the best amongst all male personalities.
Un nombre de Krishna Purushottam, que quiere decir que él es el mejor entre todas las personalidades masculinas.
And you have Purushottam, the lowest amongst men. Then you have the opposite. Someone is called Purushottam, the lowest amongst men.
Al otro extremo tenemos Purushottam, que el más bajo de los hombres.
What is Purushottam doing in the world of Purushottam? So we wouldn't expect him to come here. Especially, if only because, from the residents of the highest planet down to the lowest, everyone, to a greater or lesser degree, is inimical towards God.
Especialmente si en toda esta creación, desde los planetas más bajos hasta los más altos, a un grado u otro, la gente está en contra de Dios.
This is where people come to forget God.
Aquí la gente viene a olvidar a Dios.
Not love God.
No amar a Dios.
One time one of Mahaprabhu's disciples, he said to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, you have so much bhav, you have so much love for God.
Una vez uno de los discípulos de Mahaprabhu le dijo, Señor, usted tiene tanto bhav, tiene tanto amor por Dios.
And Lord Chaitanya replied, if I had love for God, I wouldn't be here, I'd be in Vaikuntha.
Y el Señor Chaitanya le contestó, si yo tuviese amor por Dios, no estaría aquí, estaría en Vaikuntha.
You can say that's a very bold statement. Everybody in the material world, from the highest planet down to the, they're all inimical.
Tú puedes decir que eso es algo fuerte, decir que todo el mundo en este mundo material, desde los planetas más altos hasta los más bajos, tiene algún tipo de enemistad hacia Dios.
But it's true. Even our respected devatas, demigods, they maintain a little independence from God. They're karma mishra bhaktas. They have some mixed devotion. They don't meet Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of a fully surrendered, pure devotee of the Lord.
Ellos no alcanzan el criterio de Srila Rupa Goswami de un devoto plenamente rendido al Señor.
Anyabilasita sunyam jnana karma navritam anukalena krishnu shilanam bhaktir uttama. Devotional service which has no tinge of any selfishness.
Selfishness.
Egoismo. Egoismo. Sí. So, Just a little bit there and a lot down on the lower planetary systems of egoism. But a little or a lot, it's still inimical. Real spiritual life is black and white.
Verdadera vida espiritual es blanco y negro.
Well, it should be.
O debe ser.
Like Jesus said, either you're for me or you're against me.
Como dijo el Señor Jesucristo, o está conmigo o está en contra mía.
You're either for me, he said, or you're against. There's no gray zone. You're either for me or you're against me.
No hay términos medios. O está conmigo o no lo está.
Savai pum sham padad dharmo yata bhaktira doksaje ahaitukiya patiyata yayatma shupashidati. Ahaitukiya patiyata means that love of God must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self.
Si ese amor por Dios tiene que ser sin interrupción y sin motivación para que satisfaga el ser.
So this is the world of men. It's not this transcendental world. I think there's a beautiful prayer glorifying Srimati Tulsi Devi, that out of her mercy, she's a gopi in the spiritual world, but she comes into the world of men, the line says, to give us her association. So you don't go to a place where people don't like you. Chanaka Pandit says there's several places you shouldn't go.
He
says don't go to a place where there's not a clean river, where there's not a good physician, a good doctor, where there's not a pious king,
donde no hay un rey piadoso,
and where people are inimical towards you.
Y donde la gente está en contra tuya.
You're making your travel plans. Right? So you have to go to some place where there's good water. Because if you drink contaminated water, you get sick.
Si toma agua contaminada, te enferma.
If you bathe in it, you'll get skin disease. A Brahmana who's traveling, he can't use contaminated water to bathe his deities. So water is very important, especially for Brahmanas, because Brahmanas are always concerned about cleanliness. They're always very, very clean, because unless you live in a clean atmosphere, you can't remember Krishna. I remember Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. Wherever she'd go, before she sat down, she had a little bottle of Ganga water, and she'd clean that place, then she'd sit. And after she got up to go someplace else, when she stood up, she would put the water, and she'd clean that place again. This is Brahmana.
Esto es Brahmana.
Cleaning the outside, also cleaning the inside. We all have the subtle body to clean the subtle body, and we do that with mantra by chanting Hare Krishna. In fact, Shastra says there's two things that Brahmanas cannot tolerate. They can't tolerate a place where there's not clean water, and they can't tolerate pain. They're very sensitive to this, being in the mode of goodness. So he says, don't go to a place where there's not clean water, and don't go to a place where there's not a good doctor. If you fall sick in some foreign country, there's not a good doctor, you may never reach home. I know Maharaj will tell you, we've been preaching in places like Russia for many years now. And I remember back in the early years, like the late 80s, the early 90s, I was scared to death to get sick because I'd been in some of the hospitals. They looked like some, you know, a place where they do road work or something, you know. They have those machines and the saws and the axes. I'm exaggerating, but it's not much.
Recuerdo los 80, los 90. Había visitado algunos de esos hospitales y lo que daba era metía miedo. Parece como un lugar donde hacen construcción, serruchos y martillos y cosas.
One of my disciples, she's now in her 90s. Her name is Kishori. She's a very good devotee. She chants about 110 rounds a day. And she just chants all day, that's all she does. She takes a little prasad, but she's chanting constantly. And she told me one time, I don't know how the conversation came up, something about medicine, and she said that when she was a young girl living in Ukraine, she had to have an operation on her stomach. And she said the operation lasted an hour and a half. And she has a scar from one side to the other side like this. I said, oh my gosh, they must have given you a huge dose of anesthetics. She said, no, Guru Maharaj, in those days, country was so poor, there was no anesthesia. They did the operation without any painkillers. I said, oh my God, how did you tolerate the pain? She said, well, in the beginning I just screamed. And then I fell unconscious. And when I woke up halfway through the operation, the doctor put a bottle of whiskey in my mouth and I went... So I said, oh boy, I hope I never get sick in Ukraine. Then he recommends, don't go to a place where there's not a pious government. It makes preaching very dangerous. And then he concludes, don't go to a place where people are inimical, they don't like you. So that's my point. In the material world, everyone from the highest to the lowest, of course, there our Brahma is a devotee, but he's not always devotee. And there's so many. Padmapurana says there's two classes of men, divine and demoniac, in this world. This is not a place you would expect to find God. So why does he come? There's no logical reason. But the acharyas say he comes out of compassion. He comes out of compassion. Just like our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Technically we're devotees of Lord Chaitanya because he's the Yuga Avatar. Even to understand Radha and Krishna, we need the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So Rupa Goswami has a very beautiful prayer which addresses the compassion of this compassionate feature of Lord Chaitanya. And you all know it well. It's right on the tip of your tongues. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Guru Tushraya Namaha. That in essence there's no more merciful or compassionate incarnation than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he very kindly gives us the Yuga Dharma and he gives it to people who are not even qualified. He gives them the Maha Mantra by which you can develop love of God. And what type of love of God? The love of the Brajabasis, the residents of Vrindavan.
de los Brayavasis, de los residentes de Vrindavan.
Which is considered higher even than the love of the Vaikunthavasis who love God in awe and reverence.
Lo cual se considera hasta más elevado que el amor de los Vaikunthavasis, los que aman a Dios en amor y reverencia.
So only out of his compassion does God come to this world of Mrityaloka, this world of birth and death.
Sí, que solamente por compasión es que el Señor viene a este mundo de nacimiento y muerte.
One time, Akbar, he was a famous king several hundred years ago in India, Muslim king.
Una vez Akbar, un rey musulmán, que vivió en India hace cientos de años.
And he was actually a very unique person. He was an unusual Muslim in that he was somewhat open-minded. He even developed his own philosophy, his own religion, some scholars say.
Y él era muy especial. Dicen que hasta desarrolló su propia religión, dicen algunos eruditos.
He took a little bit from here and a little bit from there and a little bit from here, and he kind of made, I don't know what his religion was called, but he was open to hearing from different saints. It said he even went to Vrindavan and heard from one of the Goswamis.
Él tomaba un poquito de esta religión, un poquito de la otra. Se dice que hasta
So his chief minister was called Birbal.
Su ministro principal se llamaba Birbal.
Birbal was a very intelligent person, and he was a Hindu.
Birbal era una persona muy inteligente, era hindú.
Very intelligent, and he helped Akbar in many ways, and sometimes he just kind of relieved the pressure of being a king by making Akbar laugh.
Él lo ayudaba de muchas maneras y a veces hasta le daba un poco de sosiego haciendo los reyes.
One time, Akbar was standing here and Birbal was standing there.
Una vez Akbar estaba parado aquí y Birbal estaba parado.
And Akbar was in a really bad mood.
Y Akbar estaba en un humor negro.
And he took it out on his chief minister.
Y se la desquitó con el ministro principal.
He said, Birbal, what's the difference between you and an ass? So Birbal took two steps forward towards the king and said, two steps, your honor. That's the difference between me and him. So he didn't take his head off because that was his job to make the king laugh. But so Birbal, he wasn't just a comical character, he was quite intelligent. So one day Akbar said, so you Hindus, what do you call God? And we call God Allah. It means the great one. Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. There is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet. Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. You have to know these mantras for going through Muslim countries. What are you doing here? Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah. Oh, go, go. So Birbal replied, sir, God has many names. And one of his names is Krishna. It means the most attractive person. So Akbar was open for hearing. He says, tell me something about your Krishna. So he quoted this verse. Pariktranaya sarunam vinashaya taduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. And Krishna says, he told Akbar, I come to the material world to rescue my devotees, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish Dharma. So Akbar got very upset. He said, does not say that in the Quran. That Allah comes to the earth. That's offensive. Offensivo. Offensive. That to think that Allah would take the degraded position of coming into this horrible world we live in.
Pensar que Allah tomaría la posición degradada de venir a este mundo material.
It says offensive, and don't talk like that.
Esto ofensivo, no hables así.
If you say that one more time, I'll punish you.
Si tú dices una vez más, te voy a castigar.
So Birbal said, you asked. I didn't. But he was so, because in the Islamic tradition, they don't have this knowledge. They're not even allowed to conceive of God as a person. Because their understanding is better not to speculate. And so don't think like that. And then you go to the mosque, there's no pictures, there's no deities, there's no form, it's just empty, and there you pray to Allah.
Porque no quieren que especulen. Tú vas a una mezquita, no hay retrato, no hay deidades, un lugar vacío, solamente tú vas a rezar.
So Akbar was quite upset.
He's
rascal Birbal, you think that God would come to this earth?
Birbal, su sinvergüenza, ¿cómo puede ser que Dios va a venir?
What reason would he come here?
¿Para qué va a venir aquí?
But just at that moment, Akbar's little grandson, who was catching frogs in a pond nearby, he slipped and he fell into the water and started to drown.
En ese instante, el nieto de Akbar estaba jugando en un estanque de agua, agarrando, buscando sapo.
And
rebaba y se cayó y se está ahogando.
He's like 4 or 5 years old.
Tenía 4 o 5 años.
And there were lots of soldiers everywhere.
Había muchos soldados.
And lots of state ministers and government officials.
Muchos oficiales y ministros.
And Akbar's family was there as well.
La familia de Akbar estaba ahí.
So, instead of asking somebody to do it, Akbar, right there in the garden where they were walking, having this conversation, he took off his helmet and it fell to the ground. He took off his coat. He had this huge coat with jewels sewn in it.
Así que en vez de pedir a alguien que hiciera algo, inmediatamente vino, se quitó su corona. Se quitó un
coat.
Un abrigo lleno de joya.
He took off his belt and his huge sword.
Quitó su correa y su
espada. He had a sword. He had a sword from here to the Prabhupada's Vyasa San. It was so big. When he went into battle, he could cut a man and a horse in half. Not like sideways, but like this way. That's like, he'd go into battle. And you'd see half a horse on this side of the battle and half a horse on that side of the battle, half a man there and half a man
there.
He was a very powerful man. The kings, they used to fight at the front of the battle. They to give courage to their soldiers, they would fight. And they were the king. They're expert in diplomacy and, you know, whatever, but they're very expert at fighting as well. You can see these weapons at the museum in Jaipur, the city museum. You see all these weapons there. When I was designing weapons for my Nisringa Shalagram, I didn't have a clue what they looked like, so I thought, oh, I'll go to the museum. So in the museum I went, and there were so many swords and so many daggers and so many clubs, and I had a great time. I spent 3 days there tracing all these weapons, and I gave them to my disciple who's a jeweler in South Africa. He deals with gold. He made the most beautiful golden weapons for Narasingadev that you can imagine, really authentic looking.
No tenía una idea de qué iba a usar, entonces ya, pero era el museo. Y ellos tenían toda clase de espada, y puñales, y mazo. Entonces me pasé como 3 días diseñándolo. Se lo di a un discípulo mío en África, que es joyero, que me hizo la salma mano.
Anyway, we're getting off the track here. So, Akbar took off all his clothes and all his weapons, and he ran to the pond.
Sí, Akbar se quitó su jaque y su ropa y corrió al estanque.
And he jumped in. He was in his underwear And he swam to the bottom.
Y corrió, nadó al fondo.
And he picked that little boy up and he brought him to the edge of the pond. And he did some type of resuscitation. He got the water out of his lungs and slapped the boy. He started breathing again. And then, you know, the women came and he went back to put his clothes on.
Le hizo algún tipo de resucitación, lo ayudó a botar al agua de los pulmones hasta que empezó a respirar. Entonces las mujeres vinieron y se lo llevaron y él fue y se puso su ropa.
So yeah, everyone's there and drying the king off and dressing him and everything. And then after 15 or 20 minutes, because he had a lot of clothes to put on, him and Birbal continued their walk through the garden.
Sí, todo el mundo ahí secando al rey, poniéndole su ropa, se echó como 15 minutos, tanta ropa que tenía. Pero después que acabó, él y Birbal continuaron su caminata por el jardín.
So Birbal was very smart. At one point he said, "So, your lordship, now do you understand why God comes to the material world?"
Entonces Birbal muy inteligentemente dijo, "Ahora, su señoría, usted puede entender por qué Dios viene a este mundo material."
So Akbar said, "What are you talking about, Birbal? What does having saved my son from drowning have to do with Allah coming to the material creation? I don't get it. What's the connection?" So Birbal said, "Sir, there were so many people you could have deputed to save your son. There were some soldiers 2 feet away." "But because of your love for your grandson, just to make sure that everything went okay, you did it yourself." So in the same way, sometimes God sends his representative, Muhammad, sometimes he sends this person, something, but sometimes because he loves us so much and just wants to make sure we make it, sometimes he comes himself in Birbal. And Akbar said, "That is very intelligent, Birbal. Thank you."
Entonces, Birbal le dijo, pues, de la misma manera, Dios puede mandar al representante, puede mandar a quien quiera, pero porque nos ama tanto, él viene personalmente. Y Akbar dijo, eso es tan inteligente, Birbal. Muchas gracias.
This is love. Just like if there's a fire, there's so many people in the room, but the mother, she saves her children. So God considers us all his children. And he's actually, one time Prabhupada said, he's desiring we come back to the spiritual world more than we are. So sometimes he intervenes without even being asked. Thank God he does. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhakivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashad Pai Bhakti Lad Beach. We're wandering around, but he or his representative intervene in our lives and almost, you could say, force us to take up Krishna consciousness. At least they try. Like one time Prabhupada said, "Here's Krishna, take him." They don't have to force because Krishna is so attractive. He's Bhagavan, he's full of all opulences. They just present Krishna as he is, and so many people coming in contact with Krishna consciousness, they can't help but surrender, just like all of you. And so it's his compassion that causes God to come to this world. And in conclusion, how does he manifest that compassion? He manifests that compassion in three ways. Paritranaya sadhanam, vinashaya chaduskritam, and dharma samstapanartaya. He rescues his devotees. That's an obvious display of compassion. "For my devotee, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death." What is a devotee? A devotee is one who accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and loves him or tries to awaken their love for him. That's your qualification. That's our only qualification. Chanakapana says, just like a mother cow, she can recognize her calf in the midst of hundreds of other, thousands of other calves. She sees her calf because of love. She notices him. So, in the multitude of human beings, the mass of humanity, don't worry, God can pick you out if you have that bhakti, that love. Premanjane Charity Bhakti Velochanena. That love is the qualification for seeing Krishna, being with Krishna, etc. And how do you get that love? It's already in you. It's not something you get, you go to the market and buy. I'd like to have some. Do you have any bhakti? How many dollars? Oh, $200? Okay, now I'll take $400 worth. It's not like that. It's already in your heart. You just have to awaken it. And how do you awaken that love? You sit down every morning, you chant very attentively. With as much devotion as you can muster. It's not a mechanical thing, chanting. It's an affair of the heart. It's your time of the day with God by the blessings of your spiritual master. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And he manifests his compassion by killing people. Oh, wait, hello, wait a minute now. How is killing compassion? It's like that's the opposite. Killing is the opposite of compassion. Well, no, he kills the demons. They're like a cancer in the social body. They're destroying dharma by encouraging irreligious principles like meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, atheism. They're killing the vital spirit of human society. Like a cancer. It's almost as if no one can stop them. Prabhupada said, why is no one challenging these rascals, the scientists? They're killing human society with their atheism. Why isn't anyone challenging? He challenged, you know, the lone soldier, he stood up to challenge them. Now people are following in his footsteps. Prabhupada couldn't stand to hear this atheism because he's so much in love with Krishna. So his anger was a manifestation of his love for God. Nothing short of that. So if the doctor is in the hospital, he's cutting out the cancer from some patient, are there a group of people demonstrating outside the hospital, you know, peace, non-violence, you know, that the cancer has the right to live? There's not that demonstration for, I mean, I'll kill the cancer. And in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, very famous verse which Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur once referred to, that a saintly person, he takes great pleasure whenever a scorpion or a snake are killed. In the same way, Pita, you have killed this snake-like or this wasp-like person, Hiranyakashipu, happened to be my dad. But now the whole world is feeling at ease, he says.
Dice que hasta la persona santa regocija cuando mata un escorpión, una serpiente. Tenemos manera, tú has matado esta avispa de demonio de Hiranyakashipu, era mi padre. Para todo el mundo está regocijado.
So, yes, they have to be killed for their own good and for the good of the world.
Sí, hay que matarlo para su bien y el bien del mundo.
And their good fortune is that Krishna's Hari, he's that person who takes away all inauspiciousness. So when he kills them, he also takes away their material desires, their egoism, as you say in Spanish, and thus they become liberated.
Y su buena fortuna es que porque él es Hari, él es cuando los mata, le quita todo su egoísmo y sus cosas malas y los libera.
And in this age, of course, a little there's adjustment to the principle of killing the demons. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that progress is making the necessary changes on the way to the goal. It's up to the acharyas, those great souls, to make the necessary adjustments, to take the ancient tradition and present it in modern society without compromising. So Lord Chaitanya, instead of killing the demons, which meant he'd have to kill pretty much everybody, he gave a process for killing the demoniac mentality. And quite simply, that's just, again, by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And finally, last but not least, that compassion of God is manifest in the in his reestablishing dharma.
Y por último, la compasión de Dios se manifiesta en el restablecimiento de dharma.
Dharma means like religious principles.
Dharma quiere decir principio religioso.
Or religion.
O religión.
Without religion, human society is just like animals.
Sin religión, la sociedad humana es como solamente como animales.
What do animals do? They're always eating, sleeping, mating. They like to fight a lot.
¿Qué hacen los animales? Comer, dormir, pelear, defenderse. Le gusta pelear mucho.
So their Lord reestablishes religion and people become civilized and they become peaceful and they become thoughtful and they become God conscious. Prabhupada summarized it very nicely. Eloquence is truth spoken concisely. He said in his Vyasa Puja offering to his Guru Maharaj, a healthy life as Chaitanya wrought. Prabhupada said to his Guru Maharaj, you have given us a healthy life as Chaitanya taught.
Right?
Religious life is a sane way of life and you can be peaceful and happy and Krishna conscious. So this is the meaning of the Lord's how he manifests his compassion upon all of us. So we should take advantage of his compassion. We shouldn't stand in the shade. We should come out in the sunshine. We shouldn't stand in the darkness. We should come in the light. We shouldn't wallow in ignorance. We should relish the truth. We shouldn't stay in Puerto Rico. We should go back to Goloka Vrindavan. To take advantage. Don't make it difficult for Krishna to save us. Just like if you, and when you're being trained as a lifeguard, they teach you when someone's drowning, you try to go save them, they may panic, and even you're trying to save them, they may drown the both of you, grab onto you and pull you under the water as well.
Cuando están entrenando salvavidas, dicen que uno tiene que tener cuidado porque aunque tú estás tratando de salvar a una persona, se pueden paniquear y agarrarte y apagarse los dos.
Right, so you swim behind the guy who's drowning, you grab him behind his neck or his, under his arms, and you swim backwards with him like this, and he's moving his arms and he can't drown you.
Tú te vas detrás de él y lo agarras por debajo de los brazos,
So we have this wonderful process, the Lord's compassion. Prabhupada said, don't make it difficult for the spiritual master to save you. Strictly follow all the rules and regulations, chant your rounds, associate with devotees, and serve. It'll make easy for Krishna to save us. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, ki? Yeah.